Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
I'm John Betts with Professor James Rahm. The new book is Plato and the Tyrant. Plato, born approximately 428 BCE, died 347. He is a player in this after spending a life in pursuit of education. He was also in a war, the Corinthian War. But it's important to establish that his roots include a relative, a cousin named Critias, who was one of the 30 tyrants. Who were they and how did they inform Plato?
The 30 tyrants came to power in Athens in the wake of the city's defeat in the Peloponnesian War. And the Spartans, who were the victors, basically engineered their appointment. They were Athenian themselves, but backed by Spartan power and sympathetic to Spartan interests. There were 30 men. They were supposed to appoint a much broader oligarchy, but instead held on to power and used it to eliminate their opponents, often executing or banishing democratic insurgents and conducting basically a reign of terror for the better part of a year before they were overthrown by a resurgent democracy.
And one of their victims was Socrates. How did that happen?
Well, not quite their victim, but a victim of the restored democracy because of Socrates' associations with Critias that played a large part in the verdict against him and his execution by the state. He was a teacher of Critias and an associate of Critias, and so was held to blame in part for the period of the 30 tyrants.
Socrates is the major character in Plato's works. He is the speaker of what we call the Socratic method. It was a dialogue presentation, not quite fiction, not quite nonfiction, philosophy. So we come to Plato. He studied widely. He read widely. He wrote poetry, I read, as a young man. But then he became charmed by philosophy. What did that mean to him, philosophy?
Plato's philosophy is almost a quasi-religious system of belief in which there's no learning, there's no possibility of gaining knowledge from the world around us, the sensory world, but rather we have to make a mental leap into an unseen world, a world of eternal and perfect realities or essences that Plato called forms. The task of the philosopher is to train the mind over the course of decades to get past visible or sensory reality and to perceive this alternate world, the world of the forms.
The world of the forms. Plato travels, however, Megara, and Taurus, Tarentum. I was taken by Tarentum, especially Archytas, the Pythagorean who rules in Archytas.
In Tarentum. Yes. So the Pythagoreans, we know them as their name has become associated with the famous theorem for determining the length of the long side of a right triangle. But in fact, they were interested much more widely in mathematics and number as a way to understand the universe. The universe could be translated more or less into mathematical terms. And that deeply appealed to Plato because math, of course, is an abstract field of thought. If one considers circles and squares, those are perfect essences. They have mathematical properties that are always consistent and eternal. And so they're an access point to the world of the forms.
So here we are, intellectual Plato. How does he get caught up in Syracuse? When does he meet somebody from Syracuse? Why did he become interested in Syracuse?
So we have some information that he was invited there by Dion, the ruler's brother-in-law, because Dion had read some of Plato's works and saw him as a intellectual ally, especially a lifestyle ally, because Dion was estranged from the Syracusan tables, the riotous living of the court. He was a more abstemious sort of man. Plato also, no doubt, saw Syracuse as a kind of a laboratory for political innovation, because the ruler there, Dionysius the Elder, was experimenting with new forms of autocratic power. The polygamy that we talked about earlier is one example. So by going to Syracuse, he was essentially exploring the possibilities for autocratic power in a political landscape, the Greek landscape, which he saw as deeply in need of new forms of rule.
So his first visit is 385. What does he learn?
So we don't have a lot of information about that visit. We do have several anecdotal accounts of his conversation with Dionysius, in which essentially he was dismissed with dishonor from the court because he tried to make a case for moral and ethical behavior, and the ruler wasn't hearing any of that. So this early exchange, which we know very little about compared with the later exchanges with the son, Dionysius the Younger, was a colossal failure, and Plato made very little headway and was essentially tossed out on his ear.
Yes, Plato is now sent back to Athens, where he'll found the Academy, and we're going to turn when we come back to the second visit. James Rahm is the author, Plato and the Tyrant, The Fall of Greece's Greatest Dynasty, and The Making of a Philosophic Masterpiece, The Republic.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.